appreciate the different ones that come out to hear the gospel that work with us in the ministry. And I love to come to the church. I love to come to the house of God. It's a thrill to me to come here and fellowship you and talk with you. And we share in these different things from time to time. But it is also a great thrill to me to be able to get out to those lost souls. It's a little harder on me when I get out, because most of the time we have to spend our time in solitude and praying or seeking God to have something to give to the people. Or to be in touch with God is to tell the people what is happening. The people of the Old Testament, if you remember, they ate, they drank, they enjoyed their way of life, they'd done their things, went wherever they wanted to, but the prophets were always somewhere out in the desert, somewhere in a cave, fasting and praying and seeking and talking to God all the time, day and night. They never took their minds away from God all the time. While the people, like little children, eat, drink, bought, sell, done whatever they wanted to, the men of God were always with God, because it was as in the days of Paul that we, as he, should walk with God. Walk with God. Enoch was translated by faith, and a lot of times we think of the translation of Enoch, we think, God, why don't you do that for us? But the Bible said Enoch walked with God. Walk with God. He continually walked with God. And men of God today, as it would be men of God, they're not walking with God at all. They're eating and drinking and on TV and radio and everything else and looking for fame and popularity, and they're not concerned about the souls of people. So they're not walking with God. They're not interested in travail. And as I said the other night in ministering, that we should equip ourselves with a mind to suffer. They don't want a mind to suffer. They're not interested in suffering. As Paul said, I seek to know him, the fellowship of his suffering. They're not interested in finding his suffering, nor seeking to know him in suffering. They are more interested in praying, oh God, move all of this from me. And Lord, make me famous, give me money, raise me up, make my name great, let me have the preeminence, let me be before the people. And Lord, do great miracles and do great and mighty things for me, and just let me know like Solomon. You know, but when it comes to know him in the fellowship of his suffering, as to be made conformable unto his death, they have no interest at all in that. And that's the kind of men of God that they are today, as would be called men of God. And that's why they're falling like they're falling. And that's why the things are happening to them the way that these things are happening to them. And that's why the corruption of their lives is showing up, because they are at ease in Zion. And the Bible said, woe unto them that are at ease in Zion. The Bible said concerning the ministers, lay in the altars all night long, ye ministers, and howl for the people and these awful things that's coming on humanity. And it said to the congregation, as to the church, God said that ye should pray always that ye may be accounted worthy to escape those things that's coming on the earth. For the Bible said the pain shall be so severe as to these people that are lighthearted, that play around with religion and lust and all these things, that the Bible said they shall gnaw their tongues for pain. And all of the light of God will be gone. No understanding. There won't be any healing medicines. There'll be no medical retreats. So, it behooves us to really press in. I'm thankful for little Bethlehem. I'm thankful for the people here. Numbers of people, ministers under our natural needs and coming and going and doing things. Sister Winfred, she comes with the regularity as a young girl to help keep our house tidy and neat and clean. And there's times when we go off, Sister Francis and them, they get together and they come down and they clean the house. And different ones are always coming in. Maybe they'll bring us a little something, like Tony. He comes all the way from Louisiana bringing me something I've never eaten. But it tastes good, Tony. And I ain't got the name of it yet. But anyway, different people do different things. They're so kind to us. And some people minister one thing, some people minister another. Sister Dokes has many times sent a whole meal over to the house, and it'd be so good. And other people, they bring different things. Brother Larry, his wife, sometimes they bring in so many groceries that we just don't know what to do with them. We share and share and share. Still have plenty left for ourselves. Sister Allen, she sends over pies and cookies and cakes. Just these few things. There's so many people bring things. I could never remember them all, but the different ones bring so many things and do so many things. They're so thoughtful. And for this you will receive a blessing. Just giving a cup of water only in the name of disciple, the Bible said, you'll not lose your reward. So then you'll receive a blessing. It might be a blessing for another year or 10 years in this life. It might be to protect you from a wreck that would shorten your life. It might be a blessing to your loved one, your little children, to protect them. Or it might be a financial blessing. It could be anything in this world, but you receive your blessing. And if you receive a prophet in the name of a prophet, you'll receive a prophet's reward. And if you follow the instructions of the ministry, the Bible said, believe my prophets and prosper. And if you serve the Lord, confessing your sins and forsaking your sins, the Bible said, whatsoever you do shall prosper. So then it's all up to you. It's a self-serving thing. You know, you serve yourself. A lot of people say, well, I just can't pay my bills and I just can't prosper and things just don't go right. And to say, well, what is the problem? That's why you go to the doctor. You say, I got a pain in my hip and I got one in my head and I don't know what it's all about and I'm trying to get it out and I can't get it out. And the doctor just puts you under the x-rays and goes over and says, there it is right there. So that's what we are. It was said to Jesus, physician, heal thyself, and doctors are only a type of a preacher. So then we go into the innermost parts of you and we diagnose the case. And of course we take according to what the mind of God has said to us, and we tell you exactly what it is, and we give you a remedy for it. If you don't use the remedy and you throw away the remedy, then you die. Like two men I spoke of one time that went to the doctor. They both had a condition. The doctor gave them something for it. I believe it was heart condition. The doctor gave them something for it. One made a joke out of it and threw it away. The other took his medicine. That one lived, and the man that made a joke out of it died. But still, at the same time, God heals. I heard from Brother Floyd's report the other day. Floyd had had a heart attack. We went over and prayed for him. We was in the hospital. Immediately he got up and left. And God healed him from that time. And somebody said that the examination a few days ago as to eyes and taking a physical examination showed, said if you ever have had a heart attack, there's certainly not anything left to show it. So let's give the Lord a hand. God is good. He's always doing something good. We had prayed for his eyes, and they had done a little work on his eyes, and I understand he's seeing a whole lot better. Seeing good, I believe he said 20/20 vision. Well, we prayed for a number of people, eyes and different things, and God has helped them, and he's helped me. You have problems. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, so you're going to have them. The devil's going to pick on you. But God delivereth him out of them all. I diagnosed the case. I said, well, why can't you prosper? So I diagnosed the case. I said, well, it says right here in the book, the reason is that you're covering your sins. So when somebody says, well, I just can't seem to prosper, I say, well, no problem. You're covering your sins. Now, they won't like that. But you just tell them right up front. Be nice to them. Be loving to them. Say, the truth will make you free. You shall know the truth, and I'm going to tell you the truth. You're covering your sin. And another person comes living like the devil, and you know they're manipulating and cheating and swindling, and in every way they are heaping things to themselves, and they say, God is just pouring out prosperity on me. You know, they think that you can see by that they love the Lord, when the Bible says, from such turn away, for you brought nothing into the world, it's for sure you ought to take nothing out of the world. And ye that supposing that worldly gain is godliness, from such turn away, the Bible said, don't have anything to do with that, for that's of the devil. Worldly gain is not godliness. But it is the true fact that they that serve the Lord and confess their sins and forsake them, the Bible said, whatsoever they do shall prosper. So there is a godly prosperity that will bring life. Whereas the Bible said, God giveth thee the power to get wealth. His blessings will make thee rich and add no sorrow. Whereas there's another prosperity that comes from Satan. And that prosperity is of the world, where you manipulate and cheat and swindle and whatever. And the Bible says that you'll be cut off in the midst of your days. And in the end, you'll be a fool because you didn't follow God. And you suppose that worldly gain was godliness. All right, let's read from chapter 16. If you've got your Bible, this is over in the book of St. John. These things have I spoken unto you, that ye should not be offended. They shall put you out of the synagogues. Yea, the time cometh, that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God's service. And these things will they do unto you, because they have not known the Father nor me. But these things have I told you, that when the time shall come, you may remember that I told you of them. And these things I said not unto you at the beginning, because I was with you. But now I go my way to him that sent me, and none of you asketh me, whither goest thou? But because I have said these things unto you, sorrow hath filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and ye see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I that he shall take of mine, and shall show it unto you. A little while, and ye shall not see me, and again a little while, and ye shall see me, because I go to the Father. Then said some of his disciples among them, says, what is this that he saith unto us, a little while, and ye shall not see me, and again a little while, and ye shall see me? And because I go to the Father. They said, therefore, what is this that he saith a little while? We cannot tell what he saith. Now Jesus knew that they were desirous to ask him, and said unto them, do ye inquire among yourselves of that I said a little while that ye shall not see me, and again a little while and ye shall see me? Verily, verily, I say unto you that ye shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice, and ye shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy. A woman, when she is in travail, has sorrow because her hour is come. But as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembereth no more the anguish for joy that a man is born into the world. And ye now, therefore, have sorrow. But I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. And in that day ye shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask, and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. These things have I spoken unto you in Proverbs, but the time cometh when I shall no more speak unto you in Proverbs. But I shall show you plainly of the Father. At that day ye shall ask in my name, and I say not unto you that I will pray the Father for you, for the Father himself loveth you, because ye have loved me, and have believed that I come out from God. I came forth from the Father, and am come into the world. Again I leave the world, and go to the Father. His disciples said unto him, lo, now speakest thou plainly, and speakest no proverb. Now are we sure that thou knowest all things, and needest not that any man should ask thee. By this we believe that thou camest forth from God. Jesus answered them, do ye now believe? Behold, the hour cometh, yea, it is now come, that ye shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone, and yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but it be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Now, if you'll notice here, Jesus, one of the things he's saying to them, it's just about time for him to leave them, take the ascension. He has been with them all this time. He has stood by them. He had helped them. And any time they needed anything, they would go to him and they would tell him what they wanted. And Jesus would say, well, I'll just pray to my Heavenly Father, and he'll give this to you. That is to say, they could not go directly to God and ask God, as to say, give us this through the name of Jesus. Because Jesus was alive and walking with them, and he had not yet died for sin. So he says to them here, he says, the time will come when you will not have to say to me, pray to the Father. Or I will not have to say to you, pray to the Father. He said, the time shall come when ye shall ask in my name, and the Father shall give you whatsoever you want. Now, that's where we're at today. This is the time when we don't have to go to Jesus and say, Jesus, pray to the Father. He's a high priest that can be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, and we do not have to go to him. All we have to do is just pray to the Father and ask in the name of Jesus, and the Father just says, here it is. So then Jesus said, ask. Hitherto have you asked nothing in my name. That is, you've come to me and you've asked me to pray. But now then, the time is here. Now you ask in my name. And so then, today, we as Christians, we as sons of God, we have the abilities of Christ on the inside to make contact with the Heavenly Father. And that God doesn't see us as a sinner anymore. And God doesn't see us as the shortcoming anymore. He doesn't see the wrongs that we've done or that has been charged against us. All of it having been taken out of the way by the cross. Paul said, Christ nailing it to his cross. Now then we're dead to the world and dead to sin by the body of Jesus. And the Father looks down and he sees the Christ. And the same way that he rewarded Jesus when Jesus walked in this world, now then he rewards you and I. Jesus said, the works that I do, that is while he was walking in this world, the works that I do, he said, ye shall do also. And he said, for I go to the Father. And not only these works that I've done since I've been with you, he said, greater works than these shall ye do, because I go to the Father. So he said, now ask what you will. Because as God did those things to Jesus, he now does them to the sons and daughters of God. I know that we don't receive many things that we could receive. But it's because we live beneath the privileges that God has given to us. We're living so far beneath the privilege of sonship. See, he hath commanded us in the Word. He said, anything that you ask in my name, I will do it. Someone would say, well, I wish I could believe that, Brother Pike. But see, that's unbelief to start with. When you have that frame of mind, that's unbelief. Why did you not believe what he said? He said it. Why didn't you say, well, glory to God, listen to what he said. I can have anything I want and think like that. So then we reason in our minds and we automatically cut ourselves off from the wonderful benefits of God. Instead of just going wholeheartedly after these things, praying and fasting and seeking God, and at the same time believing, all the time believing, that we might be stronger and stronger in the things of God. Let me tell you something, folks. You might not believe this, but you can fast all you want to. You can fast until you die. You can pray every day and every night and never get one thing from God, not one thing, because you didn't mix faith with your works. God doesn't reward you according to what you do as in your works. He rewards you by the faith of Jesus Christ, and the works that you do to stimulate your faith, that your faith might take hold of the faith of Christ by which you're sanctified. So then when you do these things, it's like I said, watch and pray. You can watch all you want to, but you're not going to be saved if you don't pray. And you can pray all you want to and not watch, and you're not going to be saved. You've got to have both of them together. And as the Bible said to the body, without the spirit is dead, so then works without faith or faith without works is dead. You've got to have the spirit and the body together. So then God has given us the spirit and the body together, and that he hath killed the body so far as the infiltration of the body, buried that by the watery grave, that is in the name of Jesus, and then brought you forth as the body of the Lord Jesus, which is bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh, that you might be a new body in his sight. And today we yield our members as the temple of God or the body of God to go forth in the fullness of this body with all purity of mind and heart and with all determination and confidence to do what God has told us to do, and that is to pray, Father, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in the earth as in heaven. See, it is your job to be about the Father's business, to publish this to every mind and every heart, that every person throughout the world may hear about this glorious gospel, this glad tidings of great joy, that someone has taken away our sins and now we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And today we're his sonship, we're his daughters in the earth to try to establish the great kingdom of God and to establish these great phenomenal things as to heaven. That is, as to what is done in heaven, that it might be done in earth, that we might eradicate from the earth all of the infiltration and do away with all the governments of the earth until the government of the Son of God is thoroughly established in the earth. The kingdom of God has come since Calvary. The law and the prophets till John, since that time the kingdom of God has been preached. Many people have pressed their way into the kingdom of God. The flesh and blood that's in this world as human beings cannot receive the kingdom of God. As long as you go about it as going to college to learn the Bible or to try to be filled with ritualistics as to formalities and belong to a church and conform to their ways of life and to do their things as to the societies of life, you'll never be anything with God. But the day that you get away from that and you become spiritual, then being spiritual, dead to the flesh and dead to the first man Adam, in whom all die, and alive in Christ and to the spiritual things of God, then you become spiritual and you begin to inherit the wonderful things of God. You inherit the mind of Christ to know these great, deep, wonderful mysteries. You receive the revelation of the Lord Jesus that it might be open unto you all the wonderful contents of the sealed book that is sealed to the hearts of the others. The Bible said, having ears they hear not, having eyes they see not. And the Bible said they'll never convert, that God should save them, that they are children of darkness, which means intellectual ignorance, going about to establish their own righteousness, going about with ritualistics as it was with the Jew, stumbling at the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ. And these people will not see when good cometh, in that the eyes of their understanding has been blinded by Satan, even Lucifer, the god or prince of this world, that has blinded their eyes that they should not see. If this gospel be hid, the Bible said it's hid to them that are lost. So then, as Paul preached, them that were ordained unto eternal life believe. Those that were not before of old ordained to eternal life, they did not receive it. They couldn't understand it. The wicked shall not understand, but the righteous shall understand and grow more mightier and more greater in the wonderful things of the Heavenly Father. So then the law and the prophets were till John. Since that time the kingdom of God has been preached. Now then the kingdom of God is not in heaven, as we would say, up here, as to not being able to get to it. The Bible said, say not in your heart, who shall ascend into heaven to bring him down, or who shall go into the depths of the earth to bring him up. But the Bible said it's nigh you even in your heart right now. That if thou canst believe in thine heart that God has raised Jesus Christ from the dead in your behalf, raised for our justification, the Bible said, delivered for our offenses. Then if thou canst believe in thine heart and confess with your mouth, then with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. He does not work unto righteousness. He does not pray unto righteousness. He does not fast unto righteousness. But he believeth unto righteousness. And the righteousness, of course, is the faith of Jesus Christ by which we're sanctified. So then with the heart man believeth unto that righteousness. Shut up under the law, the Bible said, Paul, being a Jew, spoke of them as being tutors. That is saying the law was a tutor to bring us unto grace. And then when the faith has come, that we're no longer under the constraint of the law, but we're delivered from the law, and now the faith has come, and we're sanctified by the faith which is in Jesus Christ. Not your faith, not my faith, not some faith. This faith was not given to them until the law was folded up and laid away. And then came the faith, and the Bible said we were under the law, and it was as a schoolmaster to bring us unto grace until the time of the faith. And when the faith came, which is the faith of Jesus Christ, so that is when Jesus Christ died for the remission of sin, then it was said to you and I to ask in his name, and whatever we ask in his name, then he would give it to us. So then the faith of Jesus Christ by which you're sanctified has come, and the law's folded up, laid away, your sins are gone, and were justified in the sight of God by what Jesus believed as he lived this life. So then all my works would be as filthy rags, other than the fact that if I do them in Christ, and if I call on the name of the Lord and do them as unto the Lord, all of my stumblings and staggerings is taken out of the way, and God sees me perfected in the works of the Lord Jesus and takes my works as something to inspire my faith to believe. In that if I draw nigh to God, then the Bible said he'll draw nigh to me, or that is if I do the things that please him. The Bible said hereby we have the confidence that will go out as our faith to God, or that is to believe in what Jesus did for us, or his faith which sanctifies us. So then today, what do I do? The Bible said, come boldly before the throne of grace, that you may receive this help in the time of need. And folks, we're always having a need. You know, here I am again, Lord, the songwriter said, problem I can't solve. So then here I am again. I have a problem. Every day I have a problem, but his mercies are new every day. So I come to the Lord every day and I say, Lord, help me. So then here we see in the 16th chapter of this book of St. John, it is said that they are sad at heart. They're very grieved. They're very sad. They're saying, our great leader, our master that's been with us all this time, all of a sudden he's fixing to leave us. And they're so sad, very sad. Jesus said, because I say this, you're sad at your heart. He said, but don't be sad. He said, because I must do this.
He said, this is necessary for me to do this. And that if I do not this, he said, if I go not away, then the Comforter cannot come to you. Well, that is, Jesus was saying, if I walk with you as Emmanuel, God with you, then as long as I walk with you, I cannot be in you. In the Old Testament, the Holy Ghost walked with them. Christ was with them, even signifying the things that pointed to the coming of Jesus and of the death of Calvary. So he said, now, if I don't go away in my human body, that is, if I don't suffer as to Calvary to be delivered for your offenses, to be raised again for your justification, then I cannot come and live on the inside of you. I cannot be the Christ as Aaron officiating within your tabernacle, which is in this wilderness of intellectual wandering. See, I cannot bring you the eternal life that I want you to have. So he said, don't be sad because I go away, because if I go not away, then the Comforter cannot come. But if I go away, he said, then I will send the Comforter. That is, when the Holy Ghost gets inside of you, he'll be comforting you. Any problem you have, he'll always rise up within your heart and assure you that he loves you, that he'll never leave you nor forsake you, but he's with you to the end of the world. And he'll always be within your spirit, within your heart, and to whatever measure you would let him live there to heal your body, to console you, to tell you these wonderful, deep, wonderful things of God. I remind you again, the Bible said, ask of me and I'll show you great and mighty things that you know not. So then, we find that Christ is with us. Not only with us, he's in us. So then, be not sad. He went away and then he said, I will come again. I will return again to them that look for me. And so then he came back on the day of Pentecost. He came back. He said to them at the supper, he said, now I go away. Don't be sad. Don't be sad. As it was when Joshua started to cross the Jordan, Moses had to go away. And as I started to cross the Jordan, then Joshua said, prepare victuals, for we're going over this Jordan. That is, we're going to die at this moment as under sin. That is to say, Jesus said at the supper, we're going to die. Moses has got to die when ill with him. For the sake of the people, it was said unto Daniel that Messiah will come and he'll be cut off not for his sake but for the sake of the people, and he'll make an end of sin. Or this will happen to him for the sake of Brother Pike, Brother Taylor. So then here comes Joshua as to the Christ to take the leadership on the other side of Jordan as to the covenant that cannot be broken. In that Israel is to Moses, the covenant was broken and the stone was cast down. But then the second one came, the stone that was a heart of stone taken out. God placed his laws upon the table of a heart, engraved them by his own wonderful finger of God. Now everybody's taught of God. The stone has gone away, and we now have a heart of flesh, as bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. So then the Joshua is the Christ on the other side that had control of the heavenlies, even as Moses, as Jesus on this side with the Jews, had control of the earth and done the great and mighty things, as in the natural soul did Joshua, as to the celestial, the heavenlies, to point that to us that on this side with the Christ, these great phenomenal things are taking place in the heavens, as to the sun to stand still, as to the moon to stand still. All of these things are spiritual and allegoric, and they're taking place in the heavens so that we can have one eternal day to fight this battle and completely conquer. In this, we've gone over the Jordan. That is to say, if Jesus was delivered for my offenses and died for me, I am over the carnal mind. I'm not carnal minded, and I'm not in the flesh, and I'm not naturally minded. I am now quickening spirit as to the new generation. I am regenerated. I'm now in the generation of Christ. I have the mind of Christ, which means I'm over the Jordan. I'm over the Jordan, which means I cannot die. He that is over the Jordan is passed from death unto life. So then we're over the Jordan. By the death of Moses, then the children went over the Jordan. By the death of Jesus, then you and I went over the Jordan. So we're over in the wonderful Canaan land with the milk and honey and the new harvest, and where angels minister to us and have this great wonderful ability to come boldly before the throne of grace in the time of need, that we might receive help. Whatever I need might be naturally, physically, financially, spiritually, have this wonderful benefit from God to come boldly before the throne, because we have no sins to make us ashamed. We have nothing in our life that makes us feel bad. We can come confidently, that is, before the throne and say, Heavenly Father, I want this. I thank you, God, because you gave it to me. Hallelujah. I'm righteous because of Jesus Christ. All of my sins are gone. They're in the sea of God's forgetfulness. That's good enough for me. So then when we come boldly, thanking God for our salvation, for eternal life, for healing, for deliverance. If you want a gift of the Spirit, to give yourself to the Spirit, that God may use you in a gift of the Spirit, that's wonderful. For the gifts of the Spirit are in the church. It means Christ. That means Christ is in you, and He'll do anything that you'll let Him do. Whatever you let Him do, you know. It's just up to you as to the measure that you give yourself to Christ. And as to whatever we surrender, as to the outer man, as to our understanding, as to this mind, the mind of Christ, so flows the wonderful virtues of God, as to living waters coming out of our innermost being. Or as the Bible said, drawing water out of the wells of salvation with joy. For the joy of the Lord is your strength. And folks, I say again tonight, as I've said before, the joy of the Lord comes from one thing. The church has lost the joy of the Lord because they've gone into the ritualistics of self-righteousness and self-discipline and the foolishness of man as to self-righteousness, and they're wishy-washy and up and down and under condemnation, and because of this they don't have enough confidence as to a steadfast, unwavering faith to receive anything from God. The devil just beats them around, points out the condemnation because of transgression of the law. But when the church comes to what we're preaching, as to the transgression of law, gone, no sin, no death, cannot sin because we're born of God, come boldly before the throne. God has given us all things that pertain unto life. We have everything, and we begin to think like this, believe like this, in our heart confidently, affirm this to ourselves, to convince our heart, then we're going to be happy. Because if I come to you today and I said, today I make you the king of all the earth. Today I give you all the gold and silver, the diamonds and the pearl. Today you have your daughters and your son, your wife, your husband, whatever. Today you have everything, and you can never again be nothing. You're everything, 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 everything throughout eternity. How could you do anything to be happy? See, and that's what God is saying. I've made you everything. So that he became nothing in the eyes of the people. Endured the cross, despising the shame thereof, but for the joys that was set before him, knowing that I would be with him and that he had saved his wayfaring child. I like that song they sing. I have returned. I have returned to the God of my childhood. I have returned. I have returned to the true God. See, so then when we come away from all of the worldliness, we get away from wanting to be some great celebrity. When we get away from wanting to have some kind of career, or wanting to be noticed, and the preachers get back, as it says in the song, to being filled with the flame of the old time preaching. And they get hungry for souls, and they come back to the things of God, and they get to the place to where they're not trusting in their righteousness, even though they're doing all they know to do, as to please Him and to be like Him, yet they don't put not one bit of confidence in that. They're looking to the Lord Jesus and His work. Then they're going to have joy unspeakable and full of glory. And when some of them stumble as to children of God or preachers or whatever, the Bible said, happy is he that does not condemn himself in that thing which he alloweth, just from mountaintop to mountaintop, and they flock like a bird, and they never have to worry about the valley. So then we are gods. We are gods. We are always gods. And if we make a mistake, the Bible said, he knoweth all things, and he knoweth that we've been perfected forever, and that we're without blame before the Heavenly Father. He knoweth that. So he knoweth those that are his. This is for sure the seal of God. So we justify wisdom as the children of God. We praise the Lord because he went away that he might return into the heart of Brother Pike and into your heart, and that he might officiate, and that he might intercede, and that he might feel my infirmities, and that I might be him in life because he became me in death. I am him in all that I receive of the Father. He was me in all that I lost because of sin unto death in Adam. And Jesus said, this is why that I say unto you that ye shall receive of that which is mine from the Father. He said, you shall receive mine from the Father. He said, simply because I own it all anyway. I own it all. Or he could have said, I'm God. And through this bodily atonement, you're going to receive everything. I as God, to wit that God was in Christ, reconciling the world back to himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, giving us grace. So then I as God have given you all things through this body of flesh and bone and blood. So then you just call on my name. You just say what you want in the name of Jesus. Someone would say, well then, Brother Pike, what you're saying, I have to say, Father, Give me this in the name of Jesus Christ, your Son. No. 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 All I have to do is say, mountain, be thou removed. And I do it in the name of the Lord. And I come in the name of the Lord. I live in the name of the Lord. And whatever I am and whatever I do it in the name of the Lord. It'll be gone. See, because it is God, and He said, command thou me concerning the works of my hand. The works of His hands was when He put Jesus there at Calvary. The works of His hands was when He made the birds, the trees, and all these other things. So then He said, I've scooped out the deep, as we say, with His hand. So then all we do is believe ourselves to a oneness with God, take all things that pertain unto life, power and whatever. Jesus said, all things in heaven and earth is given unto me. We are one with Him, whatever He is, that's what we are, heirs and joint heirs with Jesus Christ, which means we're equal to Him. We're one with Him, whatever, if we believe our way into that. But our measure of grace and our measure of spirit is determined by the confidence as to the faith in our heart in these things that He said as to be one with the Spirit and to become one with the God body. He that become perfect shall overcome and sit down in the throne with me and shall be one with my Father and I. So then we see, and we could go on and go on and go on, the wonderful things of God. But we see by this that we have a wonderful opportunity and we're living far beneath the privilege of these great wonderful things that God has given us in Christ Jesus. Let's stand together. Don't forget to pray for the crusade over in Indiana. Don't forget to pray for Brother Pike, Sister Pike, the children. Don't forget to pray for the children of the Lord around the world. Pray that God will help us and that God will deliver us from the evil powers of darkness and the intellectual powers that's sweeping over the world. It's covering the world. You say, how do you know that it's doing that, Brother Pike? Well, the other night when I brought it out about the beginning of sorrows, I proved by the Bible that the beginning of sorrows has already started. Proved it beyond a shadow of a doubt. It's on tape. And you say, well, you don't know that the darkness has already set in. Yes, I do know. Because the Bible speaks of those lights going out. And of the stars of heaven falling. And already the great men like, well, I just named them a few minutes ago. They're falling from heaven. See, they're in heaven. Ye that love the Lord, rejoice ye that are in heaven. And they come into that place, even Lucifer, by the blood atonement, the grace. As to the blood on the seat of atonement, he has a chance to enjoy this wonderful reign that comes on the just and the unjust as he lives within human bodies. Those demons come out of the dry places and stay within human bodies to get that reign or that inspiration. And all of this feeling of relief from pain is from medical professions and whatever. To eat and drink and to be merry and enjoy all this eating and drinking. Demons and devils are doing it. Just sit down sometimes when you go to the cafe, as I've done talking to my wife. We've sat down and observed things. Like Solomon, I just sit down sometimes and you do that. I sit there and I look. You sit there and just observe. Look. Look. Solomon said, I watched the man with the vineyard slothfully. He lost all of his vintage. A little folding of the hands and then poverty comes. And I sit and I watch them people. And I watch them. They're like animals. They're like beasts. They go there and when they get through with wherever this food is along the bar, what do they call it? The vegetable bar, the salad bar, whatever it is. When they get through, it looks like a bunch of pigs has been by there. And they just kind of push and shove and get in your way. And they act like they don't have any sense at all, many of them. You can go to do something, they're right in your way. And they act like their minds is just so much on that food that you can stand there, you know, and instead of walking down this way, they'll walk right in you, push you right on out of the way. I mean, they just act like they don't have no sense at all. Well, it is true that they don't have any sense at all. Let's give the Lord a hand. Anybody without God's sense don't have any sense at all. But there are those that by the light, that there's still a little understanding in the world as to the blood atonement, giving a little understanding, which will soon be gone. Then their kingdom will be filled with darkness in that they're children of intellectual darkness. It'll be filled with darkness and all that darkness will cover them. And that's already started. The darkness, gross darkness covering the people. Even here at Little Bethlehem, I find many of you people that come here to listen at this, that partially you're relating to darkness. You have some light as to the light, the rain on the just and the unjust, and as long as the blood's there, you're going to have some light. And some of you, as coming into a measure of God, you have some light. But it's a little bit of light here as to enthusiasm for God, as to dedication to God, as to doing something for God, and a whole lot of worldliness that comes pouring down on you as to be pulling at you, to entice you, to allure you, or to pull you out yonder to the things of the world, whether it's Six Flags, whether it's the frolic of the world, or whether it's whatever, you know. The Easter parade or whatever. You know, and you got all kinds of things. And watch this on television, that on television. You don't believe this is wrong. You don't believe that is wrong. You can do a little bit of this and you can do a little bit of that. But the Bible says, somebody says, well, I just don't see anything wrong with it. Well, let me tell you something wrong with it. The Bible said, in casting down imagination and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, to bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Jesus Christ. And while you're doing that, whatever it is, your thought is not on the Lord Jesus Christ. It's on that. Every thought that you're meditating His laws day and night. So it's not a matter of proving whether or not that's right or wrong. It's automatically wrong because it is not a thought of virtue. And the Bible said, if anything have any virtue in them, think on these. Everything must have virtue. And you must think on those things. Anything outside of virtue is automatically wrong. Whether it's making money, your business, your family, your wife, your children, anything else. Let's give the Lord a hand. All right. So then when we love our wife, let's love our wife in the sense of thanking God for our precious wife and a precious mother. When we love our children, let's love our children as to say, honey, I thank God for you. I praise God for my darling child. See, when we drive our car, let's just go down the road saying to our wife or our children, I'm so thankful God has given us a good automobile, and we're going to the cafe today and we're going to enjoy the wonderful food that God has given us. You know, we see it all around us and we hear the birds singing and we can feel the breeze and just thank God, hallelujah, thank God. Like there's a song that we wrote, Frank sings it sometimes, that this is my thing. Isn't that the way it goes, Frank? Can't remember exactly what it is, but I am also happy doing my thing. You know, why does it go, Frank? Sing a verse of it.
Some folks think I'm beside myself.
Can you sing it with me?
Because of my extreme. But I'm also happy, friend, while I'm doing my thing. There's one more thing you need to understand. Till the world should know that it's Jesus, 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 everywhere I go.
That's how I feel about it.
Jesus, 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 praise His lovely name. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus,
He's my holy thing.
I'll praise Him in the morning, praise Him night and noon, because He's
Jesus, Jesus, Jesus,
when aught else there is room.
You know, the Bible said, in that thing that shall be born to Mary, that holy thing, He's my holy thing. So then that's the way I feel. I don't have to go around, you know, splitting theological hairs and trying to determine whether or not this is right, that's right, whatever. I just believe the Bible. If it says that I'm not going to prosper if I cover my sins, and I know that settles it. If it says that if I honor Him, confess my sins, forsake my sins, and follow Him, that all that I do is going to prosper. I just accept it. If it says I should meditate in His laws day and night, I accept it. So then all the other, it might not be wrong as to a sinful thing, but Paul didn't judge it that way. That's where the world gets in trouble. They're trying to, the ministers, the people are trying to determine what's wrong and what's right. And so someone says, well, it's wrong to have a pool table in the church. Oh, someone says, not wrong at all. If we've thought it over, it's not wrong. It's not wrong. It's not wrong to go to the baseball games. It's not wrong to play football. It's not wrong. See, and so here they go on their wild, wild ventures of hallucination. Not having a love for the truth, which is the Word. God sends them strong delusions, calls them to have strong delusions, believe a lie and be damned. Turns them over to a reprobate mind. See, they're reprobate to every good work. So then Paul didn't judge it that way. That's not the way to judge it. That's foolishness on the people's part. We're not trying to determine what's good for the children, what ain't good for the children, what's good for the wife. We got God's word, and that's what it is. You know, when I stand before the judge, I don't try to determine whether or not it's right or wrong. It's what he says. He's got the book. He's going by the book. He's saying according to the book. The best thing for me to do is just get with the judge and say, now, wait a minute, that's what the book says. If it says I'm to drive 50 miles an hour over here in this particular lane, that's what I'm going to do. If it says I got to pay my taxes, if it says I've got to have driver's license, says I got to have a tag, whatever insurance, I'm just going to do it. I start trying to reason it out, and the first thing is, you know, I'm in problems. Somebody say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
So then, what we need to do is reason like Paul. He simply said that if anything doesn't have any virtue in them, that's it. If anything has any virtue in them, let your thoughts be fastened to these. To meditate in his laws day and night, bring every thought into subjection to him. Let your conversation be in heaven. Do always the things that please the Father, as the Bible says. Be about the Father's business. So then, Paul said, all things are lawful for me. It's not a matter of whether they're right or wrong. Somebody said, let's just figure out what's right and wrong. Okay, I'll figure it out for you. From henceforth and forever, all things are lawful unto me. So that settles it. What would you like to do now? Since all things are lawful. But then we go back to what Paul, our overseer, said, and he said, all things are not expedient. All things are not expedient. That is, as to an expediting of coming into these things for God. All things are not expedient. And he said, all things don't edify. So then he said, I won't mess with them. Meat for the belly and belly for the meat. But I'm not going to come under the bondage of any of it. And if anything's offensive to my brother as making him to offend, and many things we offend all, he gets upset at us many times. We can't do nothing about that. But if what I do makes him to offend in God, that is, I'm doing something to cause him to transgress. That is to say, if my brother sees me set at meat in the temple of the idol, I may not be, you know, as far as I'm concerned, I might be eating a hamburger, as we would say, a piece of meat and a piece of bread. I could care less about the temple and the idol and whatever. I just stopped by because I was hungry. He said, but in that my brother would see that, he'd think I'd do an obeisance unto idols. He said, then I won't eat any meat anymore as long as the world stands, if that's the way it's going to be, as to cause him to offend in the things of God. Though eating meat, there's nothing wrong with it. For salvation is not in meats and drinks, but joy and peace and righteousness in the Holy Ghost, which means it's a spiritual thing. All right, so then you love the Lord. I love the Lord. Let's remember to seek out things of virtue and remember that we belong to God and stop this little old puny religious thing of trying to figure out whether we should have a pool table, a volleyball, or whatever. Let's be about our Father's business. I don't find where the disciples held a conference at any time trying to decide about this thing. Can we sing together? Sweep over my soul. Sweep over my soul. Sweet Spirit, sweep over my soul. Do you know what you're saying? For my rest, it is complete while I kneel at your feet. Spirit, sweep over my soul. Sometimes people say, well, why don't you wear a ring? Well, I got a number of reasons. Somebody says, why don't you wear a watch? You can tell the time of day. Well, I got another reason for that. Why don't you wear a tie? Well, I got another reason for that. Why don't you do this and why don't you do that? And, you know, you act to me like you're dead. I got another reason for that. But anyway, I feel this way. You know, if you wear a ring, that's your business. Some say, oh, you can't do that. Well, the father put a ring on the prodigal son. Somebody says, well, there's my cue right there. Well, that might prove that you're prodigal. Let's give the Lord a hand. But anyway, you can do what you want to, you know. You can have the nice robes and rings and watches, and the ladies can adorn themselves in gold and whatever they want to, whereas the Bible said it's better not to adorn yourself in gold and all the glitters and whatever, but in modest apparel and those things that are simple as to
Sin, condescend to men of low estate, and just be plain and simple as what you are. As Paul said, I am what I am by the grace of God. You know, so you can do those things whichever way you want to go. It's up to you as to what measure of God you want. Somebody says, well, I know brother so-and-so and sister so-and-so, and I know that they are good Christians and they do all those things. Maybe they do. I don't know. But see, you don't know what measure of Christ sister so-and-so's got and brother so-and-so's got. You don't know that they got any measure. You know, but the thing is, if you can discern some measure in their life, see, I'm still not interested in that. I'm, like Paul, forgetting those things that are behind. I'm looking forward, pressing forward to the full measure of God, the full blessing of God, the full reward. I want to be not me living, but Christ living within me. I have to leave off everything that will let me get a little closer to Him, in the sense that there is no virtue in those things. There is no virtue in a watch. There's no virtue in a ring. Somebody said, well, I think you ought to wear a ring. Somebody said, I think your wife needs one to let everybody know that she's married. I'm going to say this as I've said before. If that's the only thing that's going to make her a lady, she might as well forget it. Because I've heard it said when somebody said, well, don't you have a ring? Ain't you married? She said, that means we keep secrets. We can do what we want to. No. You know, that don't prove that your wife's a lady. That don't mean a thing. And when she sticks one on your finger, I never remember seeing a ring at any time ever testify to the virtue of a man. I've been around them when they had rings on their finger, you know, and I knew it was a wedding band and they were going on with their giggling and frivolousness and foolishness and whatever. But I'll tell you what, if you take the Bible as the Bible record where it said for the women to be shamefaced, that is as to the veil that was over the face of the women that kept them from being so bold as the men looking upon them to lust after them, as to being a type. When you take that as the shamefacedness and you act like a lady and live like a lady, that is, if you have Christ's Spirit in you, you will do that. In the same way with a man, if he has God's Spirit, he'll treat his wife right and he'll think of his wife right and he'll think of other women right. And he won't be so frivolous as to try to show, you know, what he is. You love the Lord? So then I simply just don't care for those things. I just don't care for them. I put them away as a very young man. And I don't care for them because I don't have any desire for them. They're not virtuous. They don't tell me nothing. If you can use a watch on your job, that's excellent. Now, you might hear me a lot of times and say, hey, you got a watch. What time is it? That's fine. You know, that's what it's made for. If that's what you got it for, that's good. You do whatever you want to. Ring, whatever you want to. Your tie, David Paul wears a tie, it's fine. You wear that as he usually does when he's up here ministering to you. Sometimes he's in his blue jeans. I could wear a tie. I wore bow ties, all kinds of ties. You used to, if you'd seen me, if I had a cute little bow tie, it'd be spotted or it'd be solid black or black suit and white shirt, whatever, you know. That was the way I thought it was. And that's the way I'd done it. But the thing is, I don't know where it ever hurt anything, but I don't know of any good it ever done. So I just, as I said, I found myself pulling at the tie all the time, unbuttoned one side of it and had it hanging down when I was trying to preach the bow tie. And I just decided maybe I didn't need it. You know, if every time I got up, I put it on so they could see me. And every time I got up there, it was a mess. I decided it'd be better to just leave it off. Then I heard the Lord speak and say, the anointing breaks the yoke. It's a type. And I thought, well, something. I don't have that thing hanging around my neck. But there is a good side to it. The Bible speaks of the yoke of the Lord. So, whether it's here, there, six of one, half a dozen of the other. The thing is, I'm just interested in God, and I'm interested in the things of God. I'm interested in virtue. I want to be like the Lord, and the more I can be like Him, the better I like it, and the less I am to the world, well, the better I like that. I do like to be decent, clean, and presentable. All right, let's sing another little chorus, can we? The altars are open if you'd like to come to the altar. We sing these little choruses over and over. I hope you listen to the words of them. Good to see Tony back home. He's been gone for quite a bit down in Louisiana, and he's back with us. He told me today, he said, thank God for Bethlehem. Love to see my little ones come. It's impressive to me to know that words are being said as to little ones that they're interested. The Bible said, out of the mouth of sucklings I've perfected praise. One of the amusing things about the ministry of Jesus, the Bible said, as he started into the temple, the little ones kept saying, Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna to the King.
The old Pharisees and scribes, you know, got their feathers ruffled a little bit, as we say, and they didn't like it, and they wanted them to shut up, and they said, "What is this that the children are saying?" Jesus said, "Have you never read in the scriptures that out of the mouth of sucklings I've perfected praise, or God hath perfected praise?" And he let the little ones sing on. So then I appreciate my little ones. One will come because they got a little something from God. The other one will come because that one come. And nevertheless, they come. And so it is with some of the others. We sing a chorus, and one or two comes, and then we sing another chorus, one or two comes, and sometimes some don't come tonight, sometimes they come the next night. But sometimes something will strike their heart before the service is open, and they just feel like coming to the altar. Anyway, we're so grateful to have you. It's hot, miserable, but nevertheless, it's wonderful in Jesus. In the world, you have tribulation, but in me, the Bible says you shall have peace. All right, let's sing together, can we? I love him. I love him. All because that he first loved me. And he purchased my salvation on Calvary's tree. Let's pray for Brother Dwight Beachy. Pray today the Lord let me know that everything will be well with him. But he had an operation on his knee or leg today. It really bothered me because Dwight drifted out of reach of the Lord to that extent. I told Brother Atlee, I said, I hope he won't do that, because this time the Lord let me know that Satan was going to strike at him and hurt him this time, and something would happen before he gets back. But anyway, he did. He drifted off, and Satan has struck. And it's been a bad situation as to infection, and they were afraid that gangrene might set up. And of course, if it does, then they easily have to take the leg off. But we prayed today, and the Lord let me know that he undertook immediately when we prayed.
Hallelujah.
And for that reason, I'm grateful. I'm grateful. Because as I said to the Lord, I said, Lord, remember the things that Dwight did for you. He did many things here in the sanctuary, and we're enjoying them. I said, for God's sake, remember those things that Dwight done for you. The Lord just come down in a mighty way. And as the king thumbed through the book trying to find out concerning Mordecai, and he found the pages where he had saved the king's life, and then something was done for Mordecai. Folks, I tell you, it's bad when he thumbs through the book and he finds empty pages and he can't find anything that you've done. It's bad. Especially if something happened to your little children or someone, then you need for God to check the books and see if there's anything in there that he can remember. I find the best thing to do is remember that Jesus did it all for you. So then, to come boldly before the throne of grace in the time of need, that you might receive the help that you want, or you or your loved ones, and remember before that to do all that you can to assure your heart. Someone would say, well, if I don't do anything, then I can't get any reward. No, that's not the way it goes. If you don't do anything, you're not going to have any confidence to believe. And what he did for you, and without faith, he can't get to you. That's what the problem is. Taking the shield of faith that you might be able to quench all the fire darts of the wicked. So let's sing again, can we? At the cross, where we first saw the light, and the burdens of our heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight. Now I am happy all the day. And there's room at the cross for you. Oh, there's room at the cross for you. Can you sing it? And although many have come, there is still room for one.
at the cross for you.
Tonight, I hope everything is well with you. Maybe it is. I see these little ones standing here, and then I remember that some of you that are standing back there one time were little ones that were standing here. Today, you're grown-up ladies or grown girls that's ready for marriage. But one time, as a little girl, I stood here just like these little ones that are standing here. And I trust that through the years and by those tutorings, by those teachings, that you develop the characteristics of Christ and the right kind of understanding, that you might not be foolish in your life. Because men live understanding, and they add long years, life to their life by understanding. Have wisdom and understanding. The Bible said, seek it as though it was a kinsman, or more than gold and silver. Because it's by this that you have long life, it's by this that you live, it's by this that you find your way through the world, and you do the things that are right, that keeps you out of jail, out of the electric chair, or keeps you out of whatever, you know, the problems that you might get into is to kill somebody, or be killed, or wrecks, or problems along the way. All by wisdom. These things come. God created the world by wisdom, hung the stars by wisdom, made the moon and the sun by wisdom, and the sea was made by wisdom. The species of the water and the great races of the human beings were made by wisdom. By wisdom. And we have the opportunity to find this great wisdom of God, His heavenly treasure in earthen vessels. We find it, we can be part of it, if we're willing to forsake our own understanding and lean not to our own understanding, then He will replace it with a wonderful, wonderful knowledge of God. So then let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus, who being made in the form of God, the Bible said He thought it not robbery to be made equal with God, yet He tried not to make of Himself a reputation. He just humbled Himself even to the washing of the feet of the brethren as to show them that He could be an example unto the flock. This, I think, is wonderful. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God that He might exalt you in this season. Now, I don't know who's going to stand with me in world evangelism, but we're doing what little we can around the world, and we're hoping to be able to do more. Translations in many languages, and we're getting it out, but we need to do more. Get more clothes to the needy. Get more literature out to the hungry. Get more of radio, television, whatever it might be, tent meetings, crusades, whatever it might be, as testimonies on the job. We need to invite more people to come in and work with us, whether it's through these means or whatever. I see Brother Klein X a lot of times. I think of him. He come in, he and his wife, through our television ministry down, they were in another town, and they saw it and were disgusted with some things, and they've been with us ever since. And we had other people, numbers of people that have come through the television ministry, others that have been here, some out of Tennessee and different places that came and told us that that's how they got acquainted with our ministry, some through the radio and whatever, like the man down in Nicaragua. But the thing is, whether it's through a track, whatever it might be through, then we need to work together and do all that we can. The Bible said to go out into the highways and hedges to compel them that they may come in, that the house of God may be filled up. Let's give the Lord a hand, okay? I want to fill up the house, the Lord said. You go out and strain them through the love of God and the kindness and the zeal that they see in your life, that they may come into the house of the Lord Jesus. We have Brother Ron here because his wife consistently came to work with the Lord and loved the ways of the Lord. And Brother Ron saw it in her life. And even though he was actively engaged in some religious activities, he laid them aside to come to be with his wife and to be with the brethren of Bethlehem, and has wonderfully become one of our comrades as to fight the battle of faith and to establish the wonderful government of God in the earth as to the kingdom. Come, thy will be done on earth as in heaven. That's our mission, folks. Are you doing anything about it? It's got to come because it's going to be on this very earth that he reigns 1,000 years. We've got to keep moving until we bring it to that. Let's just lift our hands up together, close our eyes. You've been a good audience tonight. I know it's hot, miserable, uncomfortable, and perhaps outside the breeze is stirring a little more. We stand here tonight thanking God for His blessings, thanking God for His wonderful blessings, His goodness, His kindness. Tony just coming back from Louisiana. I think I'll ask Tony to
come up and dismiss us tonight. And while Tony's coming, let's think about that. I think about the Louisiana Purchase a lot of times. I'll bet it's to say the purchase possession is to the body redeemed. God's going to do it just before it sees corruption. And it looks like the church is almost to the point of mortal decay. And God will have to move quickly and do a work, lest there be no flesh spared. Because people are corrupting fast. And even religious people that have been highly religious in their life, dedicated, some are beginning to let up. And the Bible said, because iniquity abound, the love of many shall wax cold. And different ones begin to fall away, and corruptions begin to set into the church. Different things in the church that they never would have allowed before, but all of a sudden they begin to let this in. So corruption is coming, but God is going to get his body before it sees corruption. May the Lord bless you tonight as our brother Tony comes.